Today on Real Radio.
Everybody wants to go to a church that's alive. Well, how do you think that happens? Jesus told his followers when he was ascending, go to Jerusalem and wait. Now, they had to wait, in my opinion, I mean, I'm really impatient, but they had to wait, what, some 50 days? They had to wait for Pentecost on the 50th day.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We hear a lot about church growth these days, and quite honestly, some of the tactics for increasing attendance in church, well, they can be doubtful or questionable at best. But as we've seen in the life and experiences of Samuel, the work of the Holy Spirit is unquestionably the only true, legitimate way to extend and grow the kingdom of God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, as he continues to explore the many different passages that address this concern. It's a mini-series called Church Growth 101.
Your friend who was going to come but decided to sleep in on this cold and blustery night. Well, what happened? Oh, you know, this was the message, or God was doing this, or this person, whatever. Oh, I'll get the tape. Oh, they didn't tape it. I kind of like that sometimes. But that's the carnal part of me. Remember, we used to sing that song, We'll Be Blessed Because We Came. Remember that old song? Yeah, that's true. That's a good song. Listen, here's the deal tonight with what I'm just going to be looking at briefly. I want to really have tonight matter in this area of the Holy Spirit coming upon as it was with David. And maybe tonight you've got some things to ask, or you've got some questions, or you've got some concerns. And if they're not answered in what I'm talking about right here, we're not going to be going very long tonight. And I want to have you respond if you'd like. But I want you to know something. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, were given without God taking them back. All of them. Every one of them. And I know the argument, well, no, maybe, you know, some of the gifts only exist today. You have to confess that everyone who says that, if you listen to them long enough, they have a real absolute white-knuckle panic experience with the gifts that they can't explain. Or the gifts that they saw growing up in an abusive way, place. They can't explain it, so they panic about it. But my friend, regardless of your panic, I have to tell you, the Bible's very clear. It teaches the perpetuity of gifts. A continuance since the day that they were given, and in fact, an increasing, because didn't the scripture say through the prophet Joel, which Peter quotes on the day of Pentecost, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, we're 2,000 years into the last days, sons and daughters will prophesy, see dreams, visions, right? Old men, on all, the pouring out of the Spirit. So I want you to be thinking tonight, and don't panic. We're not going to scare you and weird you out. But if you have any questions, and I want them answered, but listen carefully. Ephesians 4, verse 3 says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. Endeavoring. Sweat at it. We're to sweat at keeping unified. Boy, that's something good, isn't it? I mean, think about it. A family. Think about a family. And I see the church much like a house. I really do. Does a house always get along? Some of you have teenagers. Does a house ever get along? Well, does a church always get along? No. Boy, the better we understand that, the more we can relax, because so many people have got this concept, I'm going to go to the perfect church. Well, you don't go there if it's going to be perfect. Just keep it perfect and don't go there. There's no perfect. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect family. The reason why there's a struggle sometimes in a family is because people are related. The reason why the church often gets into a struggle is because they're related. They're family. and we're growing. But the more we anchor ourselves to the Word, and our opinions are based in the Word, and our observations are based in the Word, we can judge all things. Didn't Paul teach us that? That if we have the Word of God in our lives, in fact, Paul was so bold, he says, nobody judges me. Doesn't that sound almost arrogant? He says, nobody judges me. In fact, I don't even judge myself. That's what he said. He said, I leave it up to the Lord. Why? Because we're so imperfect. But what happens in this church, we must be able to go to chapter, verse, and say thus and so. So it has to be. And if you let the Word of God be your parameters, we will be safe and healthy and strong. Always. Ephesians 4:13. I read it earlier, but I want to read it again. That is the gift of the Spirit in our lives, whatever that gift might be. Is for that time in our lives that we might come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So this teaches us that the Spirit of God pours out His gifts that we might grow in our knowledge. That's God's will. And so I personally believe when Jesus says that the Lord is looking for those to worship Him in spirit and in truth, right? Spirit is obvious, that's what we're talking about tonight, and truth is the knowledge of the Word of God. I think our worship, I think our Bible studies, I think our existence as a church and as a people should be intelligent. Our God is bright, I think His kids ought to be bright. And yet at the same time, we don't want to think or say that the moving of the Holy Spirit is something immature or silly. We have to be very careful. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman perfectly. And He won't do things that are offensive. He won't do things that are not biblical. Judge all things to the Word of God. The function of the gifts in the body is to make us a practical body. I'm going to throw a few things out just that has come to my mind, and it's important to me. And it seems to me that the gifts of the Spirit of God, when they're at work in our lives, ought to result in the manifestation that we ought to be a living church, alive. Everybody wants to go to a church that's alive. Well, how do you think that happens? Jesus told His followers when He was ascending, go to Jerusalem and wait. Now, they had to wait, in my opinion, I mean, I'm really impatient, but they had to wait, what, some 50 days? They had to wait for Pentecost on the 50th day. And then the Holy Spirit came. And what were they doing prior to that? Well, they looked probably like they're kind of in a coma. They're just kind of waiting. And on that day, the Holy Spirit came. And from that time on, you couldn't nail their feet to the ground. They were moving constantly, preaching, ministering, serving, loving. A church dynamic. Oh, I want to go to a church alive. Are you sure? Do you want to go to a church alive because it happens to gather a lot of enthusiastic people? I mean, can you imagine go to a church where, you know, it's all Tony Robbins kind of people? Motivational speakers? Well, you can get a lot of energy out of that. But it may not be the Spirit of God. We have to be careful in our culture. We can throw so much money at something that it looks anointed. Did you know that? That's scary. Or do you want to go to church that the Holy Spirit is in control? If the Holy Spirit's going to be in control, this demands of us that we let go. Do you understand that? You have to let go. Now, let's get personal. A couple of weeks ago, we had a time of afterglow. And most of you completely loved it. A few of you, you were so precious, your eyes were as big as saucers. By the way, I have to say that some have written to me, and it was a wonderful thing. They said, you know what? I've never seen the Holy Spirit in such control of His people. My faith has grown tenfold since that night. That was a great thing. That was a neat thing to read. But a living church, when someone is alive, I can't think of anything better than a little kid. They'll go anywhere, they'll get into anything. But you know what? A good parent will let the little one feel the dirt. You know what I mean? For some of you who have kids, let them get dirty. Let them get muddy. Let him taste it. He's putting it in his mouth. Let him put it in his mouth. It's not going to kill him. Let him taste dirt. You got little boys. Seriously, I'm not joking. You got little boys. Let him crawl under the car with you. Let him get greasy. Let that little girl get all in the baby powder everywhere. It's great. I'm serious. It's wonderful. The Holy Spirit does that with us. He's so kind and gentle. Well, wait a minute. That little kid doesn't know how to deal with the oil can. Of course he doesn't know how to deal with the oil can. But he's going to learn how to deal with the oil can. How's he going to deal with an oil can if you don't let him try the oil can? You see, we want a church alive. But we won't let the Holy Spirit move. And here's the deal. And this may freak you out. But as a pastor, I'm willing to let the Holy Spirit move. Amen. That's why that night, when someone in that afterglow setting, someone spoke in a tongue, I saw some of your eyes. And you know what was fun? I thought, Lord, that's cool. Now let's see if you're in control. And this is what I'm letting you into my mind. Lord, establish your authority here tonight, according to your word. That person either spoke out of turn or they spoke in turn. And now, Lord, I pray that you give someone the interpretation exactly as the Word of God puts it. And you know what happened? Interpretation came. You say, well, Jack, that's a tremendous risk. Yeah, you got to let the kids play with the oil. You understand what I'm saying? It's very, very important that you understand that. Nobody, and by the way, the gifts are not infallible because it is God the Holy Spirit at work in the life of a flawed creation, us. And because you and I are in the factor, in the equation, there can always be a problem. God could give someone a word of knowledge and God has burned it into your heart, but you won't say it because you're afraid you're going to look foolish. That's our weakness, and that happens many times. You have to step out in faith, as always, in things of the Spirit. So we run the risk, you know? When I ask people to accept Christ at the close of maybe a service, and some people don't you think that's a risk? It's a risk. Here's the deal. If I ask, I would rather look like a jerk for asking then wonder, oh, you know, what if I ask, Lord, and nobody raises their hand? I look like a zero person. I don't care about that. It doesn't matter. Well, the thing is, as a church, we have to be mature enough in the Word of God that if someone tonight or next week or whenever is, you know, we're waiting upon the Lord and there's a move of the Spirit, and for the first time in their lives, they feel a prompting in their heart. They don't know what's going on. And it feels almost like the day you got saved. There's kind of like oh, man, what's going on? I feel like I ought to do something. Well, what's happening? What's wrong with me? And somebody says something. Somebody says, you know, there's a man here tonight and he's got this growth or this tumor and the Lord's healing you. And then all of a sudden you feel it in that spot. Oh, Lord, that's me. I've been feeling it. That's happened here. I feel it happening. That's me. And then the person that got healed says, I was just healed tonight. Or we hear about it next week. I was healed. Then there's times when a person is sensing pressure in their heart. They're a Christian. They're sensing this pressure, it's a good kind of pressure. It's an interesting thing. It's like, Lord, what is this? And you'll hear the Lord, but you won't hear him. I mean, you won't hear it like, Jack, speak. You know, he doesn't talk like that. But you'll feel his word. And it's like, Jack, speak. Well, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to say. And right then and there, it's so amazing. There'll be a sentence in your head. A sentence. And it may be, you know, a word of exhortation or word of wisdom or knowledge. And you know what the great thing about it is? Remember when Jeremiah said, I try to keep still and I try to shut my mouth, but his words burned within me. I had to speak. You know what? Those of you who have ever been touched by the Spirit of God to speak out publicly, you know exactly how Jeremiah felt. You can't go home without saying what you're supposed to say because the Lord won't let you. It's like, man, I don't want to do this. And he's going, do it. I don't want to do it. Come on, do it. Come on, do it. Lord, I don't want to. And the moment you just say, there's somebody here and they've got, you know, this is the thing. And you, and man, that sounds kind of risky. It is risky. It's letting the kids play with the oil. It's okay if the Lord's in control. Well, what happens if something goes crazy? Okay, in Corinthians it says that in the public gathering there can only be three utterances of tongues, each one with an interpretation before you go to the next. And then at the end of three, no more tongues for the night. That's true. Well, what if there's a fourth one? Then we take the guy out and we all beat him up in the back. No. If I know my Bible, if I'm being led by the Spirit and overseer of the service, at the utterance of that last or the third tongue of the evening or for the day, I should say, now, according to the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, this is the final utterance that the Lord will give tonight. And now we'll wait upon the Lord for the interpretation of it. Are you with me? Amen. It's very clear. And I feel for so many of you who have grown up in backgrounds to where that was not the case. A living church, a practical church. We can never be a practical church without being a living church. And we can't be a practical and a living church without the Holy Spirit. If we're living, if we're practical, we're going to be united. You know why? There's no greater thing than for us to be involved in the same project. You know that? That's the great thing. If you and I are doing something together, we begin to learn about that project. And you know what we get to learn about? Each other. And ultimately, of course, how God is working in our lives. Isn't that fun? It's fun. It's exciting. And then we're workable. Workable or usable. God will use us. And that's a very exciting thing. While we're on this topic, real quick, and I'm going to share something with you that somebody asked me last week about, and I want to make sure you hear this. What I'm going to share with you, I've not read in any book. It may be bogus. It's my opinion. However, I have not read in any book an alternative answer that suits me fine. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 regarding tongues, everybody's wiggy about tongues, which is the least of the gifts. The Bible even says it's the least of the gifts. Not that we should make fun of it. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. But people make a big deal about it. Well, listen, in 1 Corinthians 14, there is the public use of tongues that has to be interpreted. So direct is the Bible on that, and so much in control is the Holy Spirit of the service, that it implies that if there's nobody there with the gift of interpretation, God will not prompt the brother to speak publicly the tongue, but in his mind or in his heart, he will pray, God, give me the interpretation before I speak it. That is amazing. Did you know that? Read it. 1 Corinthians 14. It's genius. It's God. But Paul says privately, he's talking about the public use of tongues. And then he does something completely opposite. He says, hey, I wish you all spoke with tongues. You know, I wish you all did. But we already know the answer to that. All do not. But what's he saying? In that same statement where he says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, he says that privately, he speaks. No, he didn't say, he didn't say speak. He says he what? He prays in a tongue and he sings in a tongue privately. Now listen, this is the part that I hold unique to my view. And again, I have not found anybody to agree with me. I believe when Paul says, do all speak with tongues? Well, the answer in that list is no. It's a Greek rhetorical. He says, are all apostles? Well, are you an apostle? No, I'm not. No. Do all prophesy? No, not all. do all speak with tongues? The answer is no. It demands a no in every question. Okay, so if all do not speak in tongues, and yet the Bible says tongues is a gift, but Paul says that there is a private use of a tongue in prayer, nowhere in the Bible do I see that prayer language. We would call it prayer, very common in spirit-filled gatherings. People call it, you know, have you prayed in your prayer language? Well, you're not going to find the word prayer language in the Bible. But you'll find praying in tongues in the Bible. And it's alone. You're alone. It's private. That's in 1 Corinthians 14. Nowhere is it interpreted. It's not asked to be interpreted. And it's private. It's me praying to God. And Paul says, my mind doesn't understand what I'm saying. I have read so many books that tells me in those books, but they don't have one verse to back it up, that there's the public use of tongues, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and there's the private prayer language of a believer, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't see it as a gift. I see the public use of gifts as a gift, tongues as a gift. But why would God give only certain Christians the ability to pray in a tongue by themselves to pray more effectively? Only certain Christians? Doesn't he want all of us to pray very effectively? Sure he does. I do not believe to pray in the Spirit or to pray in a tongue is a gift. I believe it's available to every believer. Why? Because it's private. It doesn't require an interpreter. And it's prayer between you and God. In fact, Paul talks about it, where the Spirit of God groans within us with utterances that cannot be articulated. Have you ever been like that? You say, I'm not Pentecostal. I'm not talking Pentecostal. Have you ever looked at something? Have you ever been so sick? Oh my goodness, this person, they're so sick, they're hurt, they get ran over by a train, whatever it might be. You're like, oh no. And you just go, oh, and you go to pray. Have you ever been so like that? Oh, Lord, oh, God, what do I say? Oh, Lord, oh. According to Romans, every groan and lament, the Holy Spirit seizes and makes sense to him. Do you think God has to hear things in English? What if you went, oh? What if you stood on the shore and the sun was setting in the sea and it's just awesome and you just go, oh? What does that mean? It means nothing to me. If I would have said, this is so awesome, I would have quenched the moment.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Church Growth 101. It's actually a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel and a few other passages throughout the Bible that address the only legitimate way to extend and grow the kingdom of God, and that is through the Holy Spirit. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And remember now that this broadcast outreach is really just the tip of the iceberg. You can hear, watch, and read messages by Pastor Jack. We've also got television programs we think you're going to like, topical studies, commentaries, devotionals, podcasts, the list goes on. And you can have it all right there at your fingertips with your smartphone app called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs. All you have to do is go to your app store and download it for free. This one-stop shop features Words to the Wise, that's Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can get via email, our Wednesday night study, which airs on hischannel.com, live on your smartphone, our Real Radio podcasts, topical lessons from Scripture, verse-by-verse studies, and of course our Monday night TV program with the same name as the app itself, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. I have it on my smartphone. Do you? Sure makes things easy. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the free app for your tablet or smartphone. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.